for the Lord with us. He's been in Kiana for 11 years, going back and forth, Kiana, Norvik. And this is amazing. Both places have a church building. Over the years, they've been able to make this work permanent. Now, it would be permanent whether they had a building or not, but it just says something to the community that we're here to stay. Amen. This is where you can come to be healed. This is where you can come to be blessed, praise God, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Receive the Holy Ghost. Thank God. And so we're excited about what God is doing and the blessings of the Lord. So we want Brother Farmer to share the word of the Lord with us tonight. God bless you, Brother Farmer.
Pastor, God bless you. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap and praise. We love you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Magnify your name. Oh, yes, Jesus. Amen, amen. You can go ahead and be seated in the name of the Lord. Amen. We got it's warmer here than what I'm used to. Can I take off my coat?
Certainly.
I forgot to get it the first time.
I'll put this on top of this.
Yes, sir. Do whatever you like. It's an honor to be here with you folks again. I would love to dance and praise God tonight. My old hip, this is the last place I danced and praised the Lord with that. I was up here, and the Lord spoke to me and told me to run that night, and I was in pain. That was not fun, but I obeyed, and I ran around here one time, and I come back up here, and you know, I was in no pain for the rest of the night. The whole time standing here preaching, and the whole night I slept, and no pain till the next day. And I just think I want to start this off right. I think I'm going to just dance a little bit because I haven't yet. I just want to give the Lord the glory. I love you, Jesus. I praise you, God. I magnify you. I exalt you. Oh, hallelujah. Yes. Woo. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. Some things have to end and some things have to begin. Right, it's a good place for endings, and it's a good place for beginnings. That's right, amen, praise God. I love the Lord. I got so much gadgets, I don't know what to do with myself. But I want to let you know that I'm still married, and you know that's my sister. Everybody, when I travel around down here, they all think she's my wife. And when I started talking about my wife being in Kiana, there were several people last night, and Key and I trying to look to her. What are you doing with him? Yeah. I love my sister. She's a beautiful lady, and she is so sweet, so kind to her brother. And she's been good to me, and she took care of me, and she still takes care of me. She prays for me, and I can't hardly speak the words that I feel for my sister. She is awesome. I'm so glad that she's saved. I'm so glad that she's in this church. I'm so glad that she's got a pastor, amen, that she can trust and follow. And oh, my goodness, you don't know how that makes me feel. My wife and I, we just spent 6 weeks together, and we're still married. Woo! Hallelujah. Yeah, it was an awesome time. It was some time of pain and recovery with the hip, but most of it was very enjoyable. I do have to admit that Brother Summers has taken a huge load off of me. I didn't really realize the load I was carrying until he come along. And it's so nice to get this phone call. And, oh, well, that doesn't sound good, bro. I'm sorry. Have you talked to Pastor about this? I like them conversations. I like being able to be senior pastor is a privilege. It's an honor to be able to pastor other pastors. And I, if the Lord is willing, I am willing to continue the work. And we're heading into something new. We're heading into something new. We're going to get back to what I love. And what I love is breaking new ground and teaching Bible studies and watching kids be born of the water and of the Spirit. And when they get 2 years old, I'm going to hand them off to their other pastor and go win some more, you know. It's kind of like grandkids. You know, grandkids are our gifts and our treasures and our blessings for not killing our own kids. They are. They're our reward. So it's, anyway, my wife, when I took her to the airport, she was ready to go back to her job and to the kids up there. She loves them kids. And she is, I just want to brag on her a minute if it's okay. She, when she went to the school there 10 years ago, there was only one person there that was filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized in Jesus' name. And at one point, there was 11 or 12 working at the school and kids in the school. There was a bunch, and it's because of her. She's a soul winner, and I'm so blessed to have a partner and that is a soul winner. I'd rather win souls than anything I know, and I just think that that's my calling. I'm not sure if being a pastor is my calling. Takes a special man to pastor for years and years and years. But I sure honor my pastor tonight, and I honor his wife and the ministry here that he is raising. And have you ever looked up and seen how many men have come out of this church that are either missionaries or pastors or winning pastors? You have a very special man. I am so blessed to be claimed here. It's an honor, and I want you all to know that I love you and appreciate you. And my pastor is, he's special. Now, I'm going to tread on thin ice tonight. If I say something that disagrees with what you're hearing over this pulpit, he's the one. You just throw this out the window, okay? But I got a burden on my heart, and I want to share. And the Lord started dealing with me. The scripture says you have not because you ask not. And I, on the way down here, I was praying, asking the Lord what to speak. And I have never preached all of this together like this before ever. This is the first time. I'm sure that I'll add and take away from this or whatever. But I have a burden to try to help people in a certain area that I think people struggle with. And some pastors would not like this taught at all in their church. I know some. But I believe that God speaks to his people. You don't have to stand. Is it okay? Can I just start here and just let him sit down? You notice I asked permission? Reason for that. Amos 3:3 says this, can two walk together except they agree? If you're going to walk with God and you're going to do things for God, you two got to agree. There's got to be a relationship. I've been told all my life that you got to have a relationship with God. Son, you got to have a relationship with the Lord. You got to be. Do you have a relationship with your husband and you guys communicate? It would be just terrible if he did all the talking. And on the other hand, it'd be terrible if you did all the talking. But many people are afraid to hear the voice of God. Many people are confused about the voice of God. And I have been so blessed. God has been speaking to me my entire Christian walk. And I mean before I received the Holy Ghost and before I was baptized. You got Bible for that? I do. But I want to tell you, so I want to teach you about following and hearing the voice of God and obeying the voice of God. But you know why most pastors do not want this taught in their church? Because they get sick and tired of people coming to them and pulling the God card out. Well, God told me to do this. Well, God told me to do that. And I'm going to listen to God. Let me tell you a little secret. We'll just play this out right flat out to start with. God ain't going to disagree with his word. Okay? And his word tells you to submit to the ones that have rule over you. If there's an issue, okay, between the voice that you're hearing and the voice you want to see, there's a difference between knowing the voice of God and wanting, you know, if you're really eager to do what this voice says, it might not be God. God's not always going to speak things you're going to be too excited to do. Okay? But when you start this down this walk with him, when you're walking together with him, and there becomes this little word, and it calls trust. And it's like this little child here. I bet her dad could stand out here in the floor somewhere, and she would jump off of that pulpit into his arms because she trusts him. I bet that's a fact. I don't think that's fiction at all. And if you trust God and you hear God going, come here. It's like Peter in the boat, right? Everybody else thought he was nuts. I know what that feels like. Everybody else saying, you're crazy. But I was following a voice. Now, let me play this disclaimer out. This is not a voice that's going to tell you to move. This is not a voice that's going to tell you to make huge decisions without talking to your sanctified Christian counselor. Okay? That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the day-to-day walk with the Lord and agreeing together with him. And so you have to know what the Lord wants, and the Lord wants in this last day, which is an awesome day to live for God. It's an awesome day to be a Christian. Amen. It's a wonderful time to be alive. Do you know you were chosen to live in this time? You were chosen to be alive. You were chosen to be here. Well, I'm going to read a little bit of the story of Samuel. And it starts in 1 Samuel 3 and 1. And the Bible says that the child Samuel ministered before the Lord, unto the Lord before Eli. The word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. So the Lord was not speaking to people. The Lord was not appearing to people. And it came to pass that Eli, you know, he was laid down. His eyes were waxed dim. He couldn't see. And the lamp of God went out, and Samuel lay down to sleep. Now, look at verse 4. The Lord called Samuel. And Samuel answered, here am I. And he ran to his pastor. Now, that's not a bad thing. I have heard the voice of God through my pastor. I've heard a voice say something, and I've heard it confirmed by my pastor. I've heard it the other way around. I've heard all kinds of different scenarios with this. And God is not a trickster.
He doesn't talk like this one, dude.
He doesn't talk like this next. He's very consistent. Very consistent. He is, you got to recognize his deity. He is King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. We are pleasure just to walk into his throne room. But the Bible says we can do that boldly. Okay? But when he talks to us, usually it's with direction for us to do something. And he doesn't say please. And he doesn't say, hey, good morning. How you doing today? Nice to see you. You look nice. And by the way, I want to talk to you. That's not how God treats me. If he treats you that way, praise the Lord. But when he speaks to me, it's usually do this, say that, talk to that person, puts something in me, it gives me direction in some way. So here, Samuel, he ran to his pastor. And his pastor said, I called not, lie down again. Go to bed, leave me alone, you're bugging me. Now there's a reason there was no open vision, and Eli wasn't hearing the voice of God. Later on in the story, you read it, you'll figure out why. But so he laid down again, and the Bible says that the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli, and here I am, for thou didst call me. And he said, I called you not. Lie down again. Very interesting verse in verse 7. So slow down and look at this verse. Now, Samuel did not yet know the Lord. And God was speaking to him. Biblical proof. Neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. His mama dropped him off one day, said, see ya. So 8 says, the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose, went to Eli, and here I am, you called me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. If it takes three times, there's something that's not right there. But Eli said to Samuel, he said, go lie down, if it shall be, if he'll call you, he calls thee again, thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. So Samuel went and he laid down to his place. And look at this verse 10. The Bible says, the Lord came and stood. Have you ever been in the presence of God? We have, haven't we? And as other times, called. And Samuel answered. And he said something. And this is where I'm headed tonight. This is the title of my message. Speak. Speak. For thy servant heareth. Speak, Lord. I want to hear. All of this was built up to where Samuel was expecting God to say something. Are you expecting God to speak to you? Are you expecting God to guide your steps? Are you expecting God to talk to you in a grocery store? Are you expecting the Lord? Does he have permission to interrupt your day and talk to you? And put somebody on your mind to pray for. Does he? He does? Good job. Amen. You need to expect that. You need to wake up in the morning expecting God's guidance. You need to wake up in the morning not with such a plan that doesn't include the one you're supposed to be walking with. He needs to be able to direct us. Lord, I love you. I praise you. I exalt you. I pray, God, for your anointing that I feel already. I pray, God, that this message would come forth, God, as you wanted to, Lord. I want so much, Lord, not just to be guided by your voice, but that others, God, would hear and do and act on your voice. I pray this in Jesus' name. I believe the Lord can speak to sinners. The Lord spoke to me. I believe he can do that. Now, we have an enemy of our soul that also has a voice. But you need to understand that he's a liar. And here's an issue. You know, people always, I mean, I've talked to folks about this subject quite a bit, and they're worried about, well, that may not be God. Well, let me tell you what, if it's something to do with his kingdom, and it's to prosper his kingdom, it ain't, I promise you, it's not going to be the devil. I mean, do you understand there's never been a split in hell? They've never voted a pastor out down there. Okay? He understands that a kingdom divided will fall. That's why way back at the Council of Nicaea, they went to the Father, Son, Holy Ghost thing. He can divide the king. You know, boy, if I can just get this thing divided. But he's got a grip, okay? Well, I got a question, you know. The Bible says he's the father of lies, the son of perdition, and he's also an evil spirit. Well, why ain't he three? Why isn't he divided up? But here's the deal. This is where I'm getting. He will never, ever take the chance to tell you to witness to somebody about Jesus, because a kingdom divided will fall. He cannot tell the truth. So if you ever hear a voice telling you to witness to somebody or to pray for somebody, or I've had the Lord speak to me and say, go tell that person I love them. And I go over there and say, I just want you to know the Lord just spoke to me and he wants you to know he loves. And a tear. You know, in all the years I've been doing this and flying back and forth and all this stuff, I've never been ridiculed for that. I've never had somebody, as long as I follow that voice and do what it says, I've never been called on the carpet. What are you doing bothering me? Get away from me. I've never experienced that. It's kind of like God sending Ananias. He's already been there. He's trying to get him to go do something and finish a work he's already started. God's already been to that person. They're already communicating, and he wants you to go touch them. You're his hands. You're his feet. Have you ever thought about God being the head? You know what how you pronounce that, where you're paralyzed in all four legs? Quadriplegic? There you go. Have you ever thought about God, who's the head of the church, and he speaks to the body, where his hands, where his feet, and nothing moves? Yeah, that bothers me, because you know what? God should be able to speak to his hands and his feet and give them direction, give them a signal, and have them change direction and change hands or do whatever he says without question. Why? Because he's the head. He's not the tail. He didn't draw the short straw. You know, it's been this way since the beginning, Pastor. You know, in Genesis chapter 3, we see Bible there that his very first two people he ever created, he come to the garden in the evening, cool of the day, the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. You know, and one of my mentors that I've grabbed a hold of over the years has suggested and things that I pull things out of the Word of God, it's not always what's there, it's what's missing. You know what's missing there? He didn't come just on Thursdays and Sundays. That voice didn't just happen on church days. It didn't just happen when the sacrifice was going along. He showed up every day. He wants in you, you're going to walk with him every day. You realize when you get up in the morning, if you're lucky enough to wake up, that he give you the breath? Do you understand that's his air you're breathing? You're with him. He's made a decision. Good morning, Lord. Thank you for allowing me for another day. Let's walk together today, Lord. I'm expecting to hear your voice. I'm expecting, God, to have guidance today from you. I'm expecting, Lord. I'm expecting. In Exodus 20, there's a place here where God told Moses to gather the people, have them sanctify themselves, I think it's in 19, and get ready to hear the voice of God. And the Lord, he was the first time he was going to speak to the group of people like this. And he showed up and he says, I'm the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. And there was a bunch of thunderings and lightnings and noise, and the mountain was smoking. And verse 18, it says the people saw it and they removed. They were afraid of the voice of God. And some folks are afraid to even try to hear God speaking to them. How many of you have ever missed church? Did you ever hear a voice that said, don't go to church? Well, that wasn't the devil. I've heard that voice. The ministry that started up north was started by that voice. Told me to go to a service that night. And I said, Lord, that's going to be too late. Go to church. And that was the breaking ground of what was to come. I'm so glad that I listened to him. But these people here, they saw it and they backed off. They stood afar off and they said to Moses, speak thou with us and we'll hear, but let not God speak with us, lest we die. Listen, when God speaks to you, you're not going to die. It's a privilege to hear his voice. It's an honor. You know, one of the things that I missed in my message about Genesis is when they heard the voice, they run and hid because of sin. Many times the reason we're not hearing God's voice is we haven't repented lately. Yeah. Not my will, thy will be done, the kind of thing. Many of us get so focused on what we're doing, and we're headed in a direction, and we got a plan. I know, I just come out of one of them deals. I was headed to do something different than what I'm headed to do now. And it was quite a shock, but I'm okay with it because it's the will of God. And I'd much rather fill my last days with doing his will than mine. Well, we got to get to that place to where we're willing to do what he wants. Isaiah 30:31 says this. It says, thy ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, so that you're going to hear a voice. John heard a voice behind him. On the Isle of Patmos. Sometimes the Lord gets behind us and watches us a while and picks the right moment. And the voice is going to say, this is the way, walk in it. Another, this is a step-by-step thing. This is your daily, as you're going down this deal. I've been traveling along on a freeway with a truck with a wide load on at night in California. The trucks down there, they don't do 55 at night. They are flying, and I'm with a group of truckers, and we're flying. And man, we're just blowing, you know. And it's like a big missile going, big old, great big old tank, and it's lit up with lights all around it. And I come flying up to this off ramp, and all of a sudden the truck just went, and I'm going up the off ramp, and I am moving like 70 miles an hour. Oh, the thing was a light load. And I stopped there, and God was directing. God literally took the wheel of that truck, and I was going on the off-ramp. I went up there to that off-ramp, to the stop sign. I'm going, and I'm on like my antenna's up. And I see like a Sherry's or something way off on the right, and it's not a truck stop. And I go that way. So I'm oversized. I'm permitted. I ain't supposed to be off the road here. okay? But I went over there, and all the parking lot was empty. And so I pulled in that parking lot and made a big wide circle and parked over against the edge of the parking lot where I could get out of there if people came. And make a long story short, I went in there, and there was a lady in there that was high on methamphetamines and crystal meth. And I ended up talking to her, and really a pretty neat thing. She told me how she's going to lose her kids, and I told her, well, as you get off of that dope, God would help you, you know. God will help you get off the dope. And she's rubbing her nose, trying to get the white circles from under her nose off. She's about ready to lose her children. Well, a neat thing here happened the other day. I was in a group of people, and this fellow was giving a testimony about his mother that used to be a meth addict in California. And she was in California, and somehow she found a United Pentecostal church. And this guy is saved today, and his sister saved today. And there's no really history that I know yet about how she come to the church, but I went to the phone book and give this woman an address to a United Pentecostal church. I don't know if it's her or not, but I'm telling you, I was hearing it. And it's all because of being able to be directed and to go do something that you're not expecting to happen. God's voice is so cool. I left that place. And I went out there, and I started that truck up, and I turned all the lights on to this thing. And this woman followed me to the door, and she was standing. I mean, she must have thought I was a outer space dude or something. There was my spaceship. And because she looked like God had sent her a messenger. You read the Cornelius story? God sent an angel, right? Have you looked the word angel up? Look it up. It means messenger. It means pastor. It doesn't have to be something with wings. So anyway, I'd take off down the road, and I was praising God and exalting him and excited. And it was so great to be used. And, oh, Lord, I just love you, praise you. I'm flying. I'm back out there with the trucks, and we're smoking, you know. And I go for I don't know how long, and I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm tired. I need a place to pull over. And the very next sign on the freeway was a rest area sign. I'll never forget them times. Now, this is before I was baptized in Jesus' name. This is before I had the Holy Ghost. This is when God was calling me. God had delivered me from drugs and alcohol, showed me that he was real. And I was on my way to learn about him. I'm telling you, God can talk to people. Don't be so shocked out of your skin if somebody comes to you and go, God has led me to talk to you, and I don't know why. I've had people knock on my door at Guyana, literally knock on the door. I open the door, and this one guy says, I'm here, but I don't know why. I said, I know why. He said, come on in. It's not that hard. Really? You're here? Why? Let me tell you what. 3 days later, I baptized him. That was Nellie's son. And his mom, during repentance, I'd baptized her a few years before. And during repentance, she received the Holy Ghost that night. So here's this knock. I don't know why I'm here, but I'm here. Don't be so shocked about that. Immediately step up and go, I know why you're here. I know why you stopped me. I know why you're talking to me. You have a message for me, don't you? You wake up expecting God to lead you. You wake up expecting God to send you somebody. You wake up expecting God, amen, because you're chosen for this time. You're a chosen generation. You are allowed to live during this time. Not so we can just coast through this thing. Give the Lord a hand clap. J. Jesus in John 10, 25. He says, I told you, and you believe not. Sometimes I feel like Jesus. I tell you, and you believe not. You ever feel like that?
Yeah.
The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witnesses of me. But you believe not, because you are not my sheep, as I said unto you. Look at verse 27 of 10. I want you to find it. 10, John 10, 27. I just made a statement a little while ago you probably didn't understand about things that were not in the Bible. Let me give you an example, if you allow me, to what you don't see there is you don't see only my prophets hear my voice. What you don't see there is only my priests hear my voice. That's what's missing. See how that fits? But what does it say? And not only do they hear, but they follow what he says. Now, there's a key there. They're not confused about the voice. They recognize the voice. This isn't spooky. This is not spooky stuff. There's a God that has created us. Amen. We're nothing but glorified dirt balls. And he spoke us into existence. He blew life into us. And then he raised us up and he said, hey, you got to be born again. And we were women and back into the water. Okay, it wasn't our mother's womb, but it was the water to receive the blood and the covering. Do you understand why that's so important to have that on? Well, I ran across something here within the last 60 days that really cemented this. And it's not in my notes tonight, but it was in my notes last night. I'll try and remember. When the Ark of the Covenant, when it left the Philistines, a couple of Klein cows, that means milk cows, right? We're pulling this cart, and it had the Ark of the Covenant on it. And so the Philistines had looked inside the Ark, and we see Bible later that says that the only thing that was in the Ark was the Word. Well, what was in the Ark to begin with was the Word and Aaron's rod and the manna. So what that tells me is the world wants his provision and his miracles, but they don't want his law. But see, on top of that ark was the mercy seat. So whenever they made a sacrifice, they would pour the blood on top of that mercy seat to cover our sins, right? So they come to this Joshua's field, or Joseph, one of them fields anyway, of Israelites. And some Levites took this cart down. And they started out right. They took and they burnt the cart. They made a sacrifice. They cut up the cows. But then they did something real stupid. They did what the world did. And they took the lid off the ark. And the Bible says that there was thousands of men died that day. You know why? Because they were directly exposed to the law. There was nothing between them and the law. You see, the blood of Jesus not only forgives your sins, but he says, I will meet my people above the law and the mercy seat where the blood covers. That blood of Jesus will protect you from the law. That's revelation to me. That's just like, oh, God. That baptized in Jesus' name is serious business. I mean, it has to happen. It's not a if you want to type deal. It's a commandment to be obeyed. But anyway, chasing rabbits here. Good rabbit, though. I'm going to go to another story here. Thank you for your patience tonight and allow me to open my heart. And this is something I'm passionate about. If half of you, we got half the church is wise and half the church is foolish. Which half are you? Ain't that what Scripture says? Talks about, that's what Pastor Sersted said. And five wise virgins and five foolish. Right? If I could get half of you to expect God to speak to you in the morning and start directing your days and leading you to people that he wants you to speak to, oh my goodness. You know what? There is going to be revival. Are you going to sit back and go, praise God, we had 20 visitors today, or are you going to be part of the one that brung 10 of them? What are you going to be? Thanking God and praising him for the visitors? Or are you going to be part of it? You know, when Daniel was in captivity and he was reading Jeremiah, you know, he said, hey, reading Jeremiah, 70 years, you're going to get out of there. God's coming back. And Daniel was excited about that. He did the math. Hey, this is 70 years. We're getting out of here. The very next verse, he fast and pray. Why would you have to fast and pray about what God's going to do? It wasn't because it would change what God was going to do, but Daniel wanted to be part of what God was doing. I want to be part of what God is doing. I want to be part of the revival. I want to be part of the tools that he uses. First King, one of my favorites, Elijah. And he's talking to the prophets of Baal. And he says, you guys choose your sacrifices, don't put no fire under it. And 1 Kings 18:26, they took a bullock, was given to them, they dressed it, they called on the name of Baal. And it's very interesting wording here. From morning even till noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But listen. There was no voice that answered. You know why? That was not the true God. Do you understand that our God has a voice and his sheep hear it? A false God does not have a voice. Pretty interesting stuff there. And 29, it says, it came to pass, the midday was past, they prophesied until the time of the offering. Evening, and there was neither voice nor any answer. That's from a false God. Who do you serve? Are you serving something that will not answer you or talk to you or speak to you? Or are you maybe stuck in a rut to where you're not asking him? Say, Lord, you know, it's a time for repentance. We're going to have repentance here tonight. But after the repentance, we're going to ask God to let us hear his voice. It may come in tongues and interpretation, but the voice I'm looking for is a voice that you hear on a personal day-to-day basis. That is not about moving. It's not about arguing with your pastor, but it's about who to talk to, who to reach for, who to pray for, who to spend time with. Come on now, somebody. That's the voice that we need in this hour. Amen, amen. So this guy, you know, he does the big miracle and fire falls on the sacrifice and he outruns the king back to town and he's kind of wore out and we know the story there. Jezebel sends him a letter and it depresses him and he takes off. Well, he ends up in a cave and it's interesting that the word of the Lord came to him in the cave. 1 Kings 19:9. I'm going to wait till you find it. 1 Kings 19:9. He came thither to the cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. Now look, he wasn't reading the Bible. He was running for his life. And he said, what are you doing here? I didn't tell you to come here. What are you doing here? What voice are you listening to? Well, he gave him some excuse and what was on his carnal mind. And the Lord speaks to him again in verse 11. Now, watch this. This is kind of cool. This is a great prophet of God. This is one of my heroes in Scripture. This is one. I mean, I'd rather preach about Elijah than about anybody in Scripture. I love this guy. But you remember the Scripture about Paul when he says, "I've set a course. I've finished my course, and I fought the fight, and I finished the fight." You know, well, sometimes this is a fight. Sometimes we're not always listening, and we can get off course. Okay? Now, so anyway, verse 11 says, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. Now again, here, look at what's not there. You do not see Elijah jumping up and obeying God. He don't go up until later. But God told him to go forth. Come out here now, stand before the mount. And the Lord passed by, a great strong wind rent the mountains and break in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. Can you imagine the noise going on? Can you imagine the destruction that was happening? Have you ever been out in the mountains in a rock slide? You can hear that thing for miles. I know probably all of you have been in earthquakes. I was here during the 64 earthquake. It wasn't quiet. And the house was falling apart. She and I was sitting on the hearth of the fireplace, and if it hadn't been for our mother watching us, we'd have probably died because she reached up and grabbed us both and threw us on the floor, and the whole fireplace fell in. It was not quiet. We stood between the archway of the kitchen and dishes and food was coming out of the cupboards and smashing the floor. Can you imagine? That's nothing compared to what he was going through. I mean, rocks were breaking. Wind was blowing. Earthquake was happening. I mean, it was loud. It was loud. Hey, but God was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in an earthquake, but after the earthquake, a fire. Man, forest fire. Whew. I've been in Nam up north, and if you're stopped and the truck is shut off, that thing is moving. Yeah. And them trees are dry. It's loud. Nothing quiet about this. But he wasn't in a fire. Now listen. After the fire, a still, small voice. Do you know that your world can be shaking? Things coming apart. Wind, fire, things breaking that never have broke before. You could be in the trial of your life. But if you're close to God, you'll hear his voice. You can hear that still, small voice if you're close to him. How close are you to him? Do you hear his voice? Can he direct you? Now, look in your scripture. It was after the voice that he obeyed. He didn't obey the first time he heard the voice. Okay? But 13 says, and it was so when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in a mantle. And if you look that up, that means talking about submission. And he went out and he stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him. Same question. What are you doing here, Elijah? Don't we serve an awesome God? He didn't give up. He didn't just ask once. He come back again. Come back again. The neat thing about this is God had a job for him to do. He says, I want you to, in 15, the Lord is speaking to him, go return on the way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you come, and thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria. This is a miracle that happened. This guy should have never been king. Jehu, the son of Nephthys, shall anoint to be king over Israel. And you need to find Elisha, the son of Shaphath, and shall thou anoint to be prophet in your room. Just because he disobeyed, you got to get to this part, just because he wasn't following God's voice didn't mean that God was through with him. Are you hearing me? You may not have heard God's voice. You probably may have heard it and ignored it. You may not have known it was God. You may have thought it was something else. One of my mentors said this about the three voices. You hear three voices. The first one that you hear will be God speaking to you to do something for his kingdom, to witness, to speak to somebody. I had this happen. And then there's a second voice, and it's your own carnal mind going, I can't do that. I'll embarrass myself. And the third voice is the enemy of your soul telling you how smart you are for not obeying the first voice. Expect that. That's normal stuff. That happens to every sheep. That happens to every Christian. Your flesh, you know, and part of our scripture that we love so much in John 3:3-3:8, the Bible speaks there that what's born of flesh is flesh. Flesh ain't spirit. Your carnal mind is enmity against God. I got a Bible for that. It's the enemy of God. It'll talk you out of not listening to that voice. If that's something about the kingdom, about God's kingdom, about witnessing to somebody, about doing something for God, it ain't the devil. Because he ain't going to take the chance. But your flesh is not spirit. Oh, this it's God's got to, it's just me. No, it ain't you. What's born of spirit is spirit. We are spirit creatures. We are spirit beings. And if we're spirit beings, we ought to be able to hear the Spirit when he speaks to us. And not just that, we need to expect to hear it. Okay, I believe I just heard him. Have anybody in here ever lost out by giving an offering to God? Has anybody here ever paid their tithes and their offerings and done what pastor teaches? And can you come up here and speak and say, I've been, that ruined me. That don't work. It made me broke. Why? Because it's a law of God. He blesses. Well, let me tell you something. Hearing his voice is just as big a deal as paying your tithes and offerings. It really is. If you can hear this voice, he is never going to lead you somewhere where you're going to be embarrassed. He's never going to have you somewhere where it's going to hurt you. If you get your eyes off of him, you may be like Peter and may start to sink. But did he sink? What happened? Picked him up. And what did he say? Oh, why'd you doubt? Why'd you get your mind off of me? Why didn't you just listen to me? And a real amazing part about that is they went to the boat. How'd they get there? They walked. Here's the key. What you cannot do by yourself, you get your hand in his hand, you can do. You start following that Spirit, you can do this. Sometimes God has got to leave us alone to get us to a place where we say, you know what, I can't do this. I had him speak to me about that. And I said, Lord, I can't do this. He goes, I know. And now that you know, stick your hand in mine, let's go. Plan didn't change, just the boss did. This thing between your ears is not the boss. And that's hard for smart people to hear this voice. There is tons of Bible about men hearing the voice of the Lord. I didn't put a whole lot of it in here, but there's tons of it. Hebrews 3 and 6 says this. If you go ahead and stand with me, I'm getting ready to close. Everybody go, whew. Hebrews 3 and 6 says, but Christ has a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Whereas, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice. That's 3:7. Put 3:7 up there. What is speaking to you? That Spirit. Has any, have you guys all received the Holy Ghost? You spoke another tongue? You have that voice inside of you. He is there. He's willing to speak to you. But the scripture goes on and it says here, don't harden your hearts. Don't ignore this voice. That's what that says. Next verse, please. 3:8. No. I challenge you today. I'm challenging you to come up here and repent. And then we're going to ask God. We're going to say, Lord, speak to us. Guide me tomorrow. And then the challenge is in the morning, I want you to wake up expecting God to direct you. It may be just a thought, but he's inside of you. He can put that in your mind about who to talk to. You know, God will speak things to you that is amazing. I was looking for one Bible study, and I had the Lord speak to me and say, if you will praise me where others curse me, I'll give you revival. I wasn't looking for revival. I was looking for one Bible study. But I did what the voice said. And guess what? Revival broke out. You don't have to understand it. You just got to do it. But don't harden your heart. If you can hear and do what that voice says, you will be a soul winner. You cannot not be. Why? Because that's what he come down here to do. See, if you're walking with him and you're agreeing with him, it's about souls. We're at the last days, folks. It's time to get serious about this stuff. It's time to let God use us any way he wants to use us. There's somebody in your life that only you can talk to. There's somebody in your life that only you have contact with. Pastor doesn't have contact with them. But if you can allow God to speak to you, don't just go beat on the door and say, God's going to speak to me. You wait. I waited a year before I talked to Brother Summers about the Lord. And when it was time, Brother Summers was across from me at a dinner table eating his Oreos or Wheaties or something. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, tell him about me now. I kind of went, now? And he's pastor today. He's pastor today. Because somebody could hear a voice during breakfast. I didn't know that the night before his wife put a King James Bible in his chest and ran. I didn't see. God knows these things. I don't. You don't. So don't act on your own before the voice. Wait. Can we come and pray? Is that okay?